Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. We help business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion and make a difference for your community, market, and audience. Please take a moment and visit our website, www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. You'll find hundreds of episodes covering a breadth and depth of topics relevant to you as a business creator, and links to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. And now, here's today's episode. Let's get started.
My name is Adam Homey. I'm your host, and I am honored by your wise decision once again to tune in and invest in yourself today. The Business Creators Radio Show takes you to those places where you have those mastermind meetings and aha moments that can change your trajectory or at least bring you a little bit closer to serving from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion. And what I like to tell people about Business Creators Radio is we don't have a $25,000 Hollywood studio. So if you're counting on that, count on something else. In fact, today, it's a beautiful day here in gorgeous Las Vegas, known to some as the hottest city in America, and I'm actually at a cafe. So picture yourself sitting at a cafe, being that third person, observing while a mastermind conversation takes place in front of you, occasionally interjecting and having your questions answered, but mostly in a listen and learn mode, as we all find ourselves sometimes. I know that there are times when I lead the conversation and there are times when I just sort of hang back because there's a dynamic going on and I don't want to interrupt that flow. And today we are going to have a very interesting topic. It's something that I like to bring into Business Creators Radio maybe once or twice a year because I don't like to inundate it. So when somebody comes to me with an interesting take on what we're covering, I like to bring them in, especially so we can get some of the latest updates, as this is an ever-evolving field and discipline, and it's about how to increase your website traffic, I hate that phrase, without spending money on ads. So I'll explain to you why I don't like that phrase in a moment and how I redefine that to clarify our terms. But first of all, I want to introduce you to today's guest, somebody who I've had a chance to check out and seems like an absolute dynamo. He's kind of a soft-spoken dude, but just listen carefully to what he has to say because he is going to absolutely fire hose you with amazing information. Have your pad of paper and two pens out, and be sure to subscribe to the show so you can listen to the replay and get fresh episodes like this one served to you every week. His name is Brandon Leibowitz. He runs and operates SEO Optimizers, and he's had that company since 2007. We're headed into, as of this recording, the 17th year. And they're a digital marketing company that focuses on helping small, medium-sized businesses get more online traffic, which in turn converts into clients, sales, leads, etc. So he wants to share his knowledge about search engine optimization, social media marketing, and Google ads, even though we're not really going to be speaking about how to spend money on ads per se. We may touch on that a bit because for some that's important, but we are going to be covering this topic, and I'm looking forward to learning a few things myself. Brandon Leibowitz, come on in. The weather's fine.
Thank you for having me on today.
Okay. I read off your bio, just your staying power and the level of knowledge that I've discovered you have when I researched you are so impressive that I'm not sure I'm worthy to be in your presence, and this is my show. So what we like to do before we dive in, and you gave us a lot of talking points, is, and in a moment, this is going to be largely you sharing with us, is before we do that, I like to pull back the curtain. I told people who you are. Now, in your own words, tell us a bit about your journey and what's brought you to where you are today, serving business creators from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion.
I kind of fell into this whole digital marketing world after I graduated from college, got my degree in business marketing back in 2007. And the first job I got out of school was helping a company out with their digital marketing, which I didn't really know much about it back then. They said, don't worry, we don't know much either. We're going to learn with you and take you to classes and workshops and seminars, which I thought was pretty interesting. Decided to give it a try. And after working there for a few months, just realized that everyone's probably going to have a website in the future. And there's lots of different ways to get traffic. And SEO is just a way to get free traffic. And who doesn't want free traffic? So over the years, I focused primarily on SEO strategies, working at different advertising agencies as a director of SEO, and before work or after work and on my lunch breaks, I work on my own company, and eventually built that up to where I was able to quit my job and focus solely on this, and been doing that ever since, just helping people really tap into that free traffic from Google.
Certainly, certainly. So I've spoken on stages back when we had a lot of conferences before we went largely to virtual and hybrids. I've said this on webinars. I've said this on other episodes of this podcast. I've said this on podcasts I've been on. I've said this in my books. And I tell business creators, entrepreneurs, website owners, service providers all the time that if there's one thing you have in your business, you don't want it, you don't need it. In fact, you should get rid of it. And that's traffic to your website. And you are thinking, what the hell did this guy just say? Why would you not want traffic to your website? Well, here's how I look at it. Traffic is the reason I don't go to an office. Website, what is a website? Is that a sales letter site? Is that a service business site? Is that an about page, a contact page, a home page, a webinar registration page, a teleseminar registration page? Is that a course directory? A website can be all of those things, and all of those things can be contained within a website. So what I urge people to do are to embrace what I call the three C's of website conversions, which I can't remember what the hell they are right now because it's actually been a while since I used the analogy. But the idea is that you get people to come to your webpage. So instead of traffic to your website, you get visitors to your website. So that's actually the three P's. It's still early here. Pre-qualified, prepped, and pumped. So they're pre-qualified, so you're sending the right message to the right people. So that's pre-qualified. Prepped, which means when they click on that link in that social post or that email, or they type down that link, that URL they heard on a podcast, they know what they're expecting. And pumped, which means hopefully your website loads lightning speed fast, not only for search engine optimization purposes, but so that they don't get bored and they quickly can see the specific call to action or the gift that you promised them when they visited that. So it's not a matter of saying, and I've actually confessed that, yes, traffic to your website is a good thing, but what I do is I redefine the terms. I believe there's not much new under the sun. It's just a matter of how we define it and how we elaborate upon it to create more profound understanding for audiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, I always tell people traffic is not, I mean, traffic is what SEO does. It gets you more traffic, but traffic isn't a means to an end. So getting traffic is just traffic, and it all depends on what that traffic does and how targeted it is. And you want traffic that's going to convert into clients or phone calls or emails or whatever that conversion goal is. So just getting traffic just to get traffic doesn't do anything. Just like with social media, you could have a million followers, but if they're not targeted, it does nothing for you. So you have to go for quality over quantity with everything, especially with traffic, social media followers, all that stuff. Is not just getting the biggest numbers, but going after the biggest numbers that are relevant to you that are going to actually drive those conversions, because otherwise you're just going to have a bunch of people going to your website, but that doesn't do much for you. And even once they get to your website, how do you get them to convert? Which is also the tougher part of it, is once people get there, conversion rate optimization, how do you get them to become a visitor or turn from a visitor to an actual client or a lead, essentially, because it is not easy. And that's where you just got to make sure your website's fully optimized for conversions, meaning it looks good on all the different platforms. It looks good on mobile versus desktop versus Chrome, Safari, Internet Explorer, and make sure you have a good call to action and a value proposition at the top of your page on every single page on your website. Because if not, you're going to lose people, because most people don't really scroll down on the website. So whatever they see on the screen is called above the fold. And you want to make sure you have all your pertinent information up there, like that call to action, that value proposition, what's in it for me, maybe put a video up there, a couple bullet points or stuff, so it's easy to skim through and read and quickly figure out what this page is about and understand if you are qualified to want to reach out to that person and learn more about their services or their products.
Yeah. So you got involved in this in 2007. So you were around during the era of compatibility for Internet Explorer 6. You remember those days? One of the early iterations of my businesses, we were a development firm. And how many of our projects got to the 99% point pretty much right on schedule, but then got held up sometimes for weeks trying to get one little thing lined up in Internet Explorer 6, which meanwhile, only 11% of users were actually citing as their primary browser, and which had been cited in various publications as one of the 20 worst softwares of all time.
Yeah, still has issues to this day. If you look at Internet Explorer, it's still probably going to break your website. So nothing really changed with that one. It still has issues, unfortunately. So that's where you just got to test. But also look at your analytics and see how much traffic is coming from Internet Explorer. Is it worth investing all this time and effort on it? Probably. But if you're not getting any traffic, then maybe it's not the best time spent. And you could focus on other areas that will have a better impact on those rankings and conversions.
Yeah, I remember... it got to the point once WordPress became a system that could be used to build a website and themes became a major thing, and it became so much more of an effective platform. And then when mobile compatibility began to become an issue, I came up with a very innovative solution for Internet Explorer 6 compatibility, which was real simple. Install a plugin on the WordPress site that if somebody tried to access it using Internet Explorer 6, it said... Well, slightly more nicely, but this was the message, is like, dude, it's 2014. You're still using Internet Explorer 6? Get a real browser.
I like that. That might make a lot of people upset, though. So that's where you got to tread lightly and not get anyone upset, because then they're going to write some bad news about you, and then it's going to get that negative snowball effect where, unfortunately, that's inevitable, where someone's going to see that and then post that all over the internet saying, hey, look at this website. They don't care about me. They're not going to be accessible to me. They're not a good business. And you don't want to have to deal with that either. So,
Well, we did do it. Now, I'm going to tell you, the only feedback we ever got from it was a client didn't even know we had done that. They found out from one of their friends who had tried to look at their website and got prompted to at least use Internet Explorer 7. Told my client about it. My client thought it was funny.
No, as long as you have a good sense of humor and don't get upset. But
we had gotten to a point where we started watching industry metrics, and we had made the decision that when we saw a trend that usage of Internet Explorer 6's primary browser got to about 6%, we were just going to stop caring, because it was just getting out of hand. I mean, come on. We were up to Internet Explorer 8, and 10 was coming out at that time. You're still using 6. I mean, there comes a point. I mean, that'd be like trying to drive a Model T on the interstate. There comes a point, my friend. But let's get to your expertise here. And what are some of the best practices here in 2024 for optimizing the website for conversions? You touched on some general principles. What are some of the things you see that are working really well these days?
I would say just really making sure everything above the fold has all your really important information, because a lot of times people have a big hero image or something that doesn't really accurately describe what that page is about. People get to that page and they don't know what this website is about, and they have to scroll down. And most people don't really scroll down on a website, surprisingly. A lot of people just get to that page, look, and kind of scan it in a Z pattern, going zigzag from left to right, scanning quickly, looking for things. And if they don't see what they're looking for, they're going to hit that back button and move on to the next website on Google, because there's 10 spots on that first page of Google, plus there's ads, plus there's all these other enhanced features that they've added, images, videos. If you're local, maps appear. So there's a lot of options out there. So if you're not giving people what they want right away, especially nowadays with attention spans being so short with TikTok and everything, they don't find what they're looking for within those first couple seconds, they're hitting that back button. So making sure the website loads quickly, it's also important for conversion rate optimization, making sure it looks good on all those platforms, but really having that value proposition, letting people know what are the benefits from using your product or service at the top of the page, really easy, clear, having that call to action with the big, or making it easy for people to understand what that call to action is. What is your conversion? Yeah. Do you want people to buy from you? Do you want them to email you? Do you want people to call you? And having that easy to find, because a lot of times it'll be buried and it's tough to find that stuff, or it's really down far on that page where Most people, unfortunately, are not going to see that.
Yeah, well, and for those who wonder why a lot of front pages websites have the thing where you have the little blurbs with an image next to it, and then there'll be another, and then there'll be another container right under it where you have an image with a blurb next to it, and they go back and forth where they reverse sides. That's the zigzag for our listeners, just in case you were wondering. There's a reason for that, and it's the zigzag, the way human beings look at it. Next time you're reading a book, pay close attention to how you scan a page when you prepare yourself to read it, and notice that you may move your head back and forth slightly as you're going through the determinations of how big is this font? How long is it going to take me to read this? Are there any subheadlines? Are there any pictures? And I have a client in the consulting side of my business where he actually is the primary writer of his content. And our deal is that he writes the content the way he writes it, and I turn it into something that works on the web. And a lot of that just simply involves breaking his sentences into three paragraphs each.
Yeah,
So
lessons.
that goes to digital literacy.
I'd say you can see a lot of times now people just put one sentence paragraphs just so it's easier to read through, especially on mobile. You don't have a big chunk of text there because that's going to scare people away. So sometimes less is better, but for SEO, you do need a lot of text on the page. So it's that balance of making it easy to read through, easy to navigate through, and still having that text there for Google, but also having the text there for people. Because people are number one, but also for Google, you want Google to trust you and rank you for the right keyword. So, gotta have that balance.
So one of the things that comes up is the idea, since you're mentioning, how to optimize a page and optimize a blog post, one of the things we see in most best practices for doing this, whether it's a web page, whether it's a blog post, and if you use something like the all-in-one SEO plugin, it does the true SEO analysis, TRU SEO. One of the things they look for in assessing your SEO score for that page or post is you have one internal link and one external link minimum for that page. So I want to just run this by you because I think that this is the right thing to do. This is a reason why you want to have at least a few different websites so that you have the ability to outlink to something that is still yours. Given that it's going to be looking for at least one external link. We use this for a couple of our clients actually, and we find it helpful. Like if they have a landing page for an opt-in or something, or they have or they're running events. Like one of our clients runs regular virtual events. So we actually had the events move to a separate domain on a website that aesthetically is very similar to their primary website. It's just that it allows us to mention the events and then link out to a separate URL, even though my client also controls that URL.
Yeah, no, it's good to do that, but it's also good to merge them all into one URL because the more websites that you have of unique domains, then it doubles, triples, quadruples all the work that you have to do. So sometimes it's good to merge them, but if they're completely off topic, I would separate them out. But then you just have to realize then you have to create an Instagram, a Facebook, a Twitter, a YouTube, a LinkedIn for that new website
Not
and
necessarily. No, I mean, I have about 12 websites of my own. They don't all have their own social properties. A lot of my websites are opt-ins for some of our special reports and white papers where we just separate that out under a separate domain. That's actually the domain itself is optimized for the key phrase we're looking for people to find that.
Yep, but then you have to double down with backlinks. So a big part with SEO is building backlinks because the way Google works is they don't really care what you put on the website. They don't trust anybody, and you have to build that trust up. And the way that Google will trust you is by getting other websites to talk about you. The more websites talk about you, the more popular Google sees you as, and then they look at those keywords on your website. But it doesn't work the other way around. So if you have multiple websites, then you have to build backlinks for your main website and 12 other websites, which just makes everything 12 times more work. That's the biggest issue with SEO. But if you're just running paid ads, that doesn't matter. But if you want to rank organically for SEO, then having all those multiple websites just means you're gonna have to double down on backlinks. And backlinks are tough to build. And but that's how Google's algorithm first started. It's all based off backlinks. That's why Google became popular, is because back in the 90s, Google or search engines looked at keywords on your website, which anybody could put any keyword on your website and Google realized that a lot of people are lying and tricking Google or search engines, putting keywords that really aren't the correct keywords on the website just to rank. And Google said, we want to look at backlinks. We want to see other websites that are talking about you. And building those backlinks is really tough, and it takes a lot of time and effort. So that's the only downside about having multiple websites, is then you have to double down on those backlinks essentially to get Google to trust you for SEO. But if you're doing paid ads or social, then it doesn't really matter because they're not looking at backlinks. But for SEO purposes, it's better to just condense them all into one domain, maybe have subdomains instead of unique domains.
I hate subdomains because they're a pain in the ass to set up.
Yeah, no, building websites is never fun. So I stay far away from that. And I try to work on the optimizations. Building websites, that's where I let programmers and web developers take care of all that.
Yeah, and the problem with subdomains is it seems like every few years we need to shift web hosts, because either your existing web host gets really good at raising their rates to the point where you're wondering why you're paying $155 a month for this, and or they get acquired. You start with some really good web host, and then they get acquired by some aggregator, and their customer service goes to hell, so you have to move. So I also urge people to look at the portability aspect of it from a logistical perspective. But let's delve into a bit more of what you said about getting other websites to talk about yours. Because I agree with that. And, you know, I've seen so many cases where Google just upended everything. They've released alligators and panthers and pandas and everything else that upset the apple cart. But once all the dust settled, backlinks have always been the thing that was there. They've always been the thing that mattered the most.
Yeah.
So how do we go about doing that?
Yeah, there's lots of different ways to build backlinks. The best way is find your competition. So with SEO, we're not trying to beat Google, because Google changes their algorithm every single day. So even if we did figure out how Google works, tomorrow it's going to change and the next day it's going to change. So what really matters is who's on that first page of Google for your keywords, and how much SEO have they done. And there's tools that will let you look at any website's backlinks. So I always recommend, for a starting point, is going to Google, search for your keywords, and look at the organic results. Skip over the ads, because they're not really doing SEO. And make note of all those websites, and then throw them into different backlink checker tools. They're all paid, unfortunately. There's not any free ones that are really good. The paid ones, the more popular ones, would be like Moz or Ahrefs or SEMrush. And then you can see all of your competitors' backlinks. And one by one, start looking at the sites that are linking out to your competition. Because if they're linking out to your competitor, they would probably link out to you. You just have to get creative and figure out how did they get this backlink? Did they write an article? Did they do a blog post? Did they do a press release? Did they do a podcast interview? Whatever it is, you can reverse engineer their entire strategy and see exactly what's working for them and try to incorporate those sites. But I wouldn't go through all the websites that are linking out to your competition, because it's not a numbers game. In the past, it was, if I have 100 backlinks and you have 200 backlinks, you would rank higher than me. But then Google realized people were gaming the system and building low quality backlinks. So Google said it's not the number of backlinks, but now it's the number of quality backlinks. And what's a quality backlink to Google? Quality backlink means it comes from a site that's related to what you're doing and has some authority. Those are the two really important things. So when you're going looking at your competitors' backlinks, if you see backlinks that are coming from foreign countries or not your native language, I would skip those immediately. But then also looking for relevancy. Like if you're selling cars online and you see your competitors are getting backlinks from a restaurant, that restaurant might not be the best backlink to go after. I mean, it's okay if you have one or two backlinks coming from a restaurant, because maybe you did business with that restaurant and they just wrote about you. But if the majority of your backlinks are coming from a restaurant, Google's going to think you're a restaurant. So whatever sites the backlinks are coming from, got to make sure they're relevant. That's such a big part of it. So going after quality versus quantity. And once you've exhausted all those backlinks from your competitors, then you have to start building new backlinks. Because unfortunately, when you're going after your competitors' backlinks, a lot of these sites are going to be old or outdated or no longer maintained, and you're not just able to get those backlinks. So you have to start building new ones. And there's lots of different ways to build new ones. But what matters is getting you on sites that are related to what you're doing. And the best way to get on sites that are related to what you're doing is by usually blogging on them. So blogging on other people's websites, blogging on your website is great and it's very important. But it's a lot more beneficial if you take the blogs that you would normally post on your website and give them to other people. So finding targeted websites, not just random websites, but finding targeted websites that are related to what you're doing and trying to build relationships with these webmasters to see if you could potentially write for them or do an interview or do something. Because if you just ask someone for a backlink, they're going to say no. But if you offer something of value, that's going to help out a lot more. Like for e-commerce, it's really easy. Like if you're selling like low ticket items that are maybe like $20, you could give out free products to influencers that have a blog and have them write about you. And that's a way to get backlinks. If you're a service-based business, it's a little bit more tricky. You can't just give away your services
right.
for people to review, but it's all about just trying to get creative. And that's where looking at your competitors' backlinks is going to give you tons of insights of ideas that you might not have thought of, like, oh, maybe my competitors are doing this tactic. Maybe I should start incorporating this into my marketing strategy because it looks like they're getting a tons of visibility, lots of backlinks, and potentially new clients off of that. Let me try to incorporate those strategies into my marketing. But it's really all about quality over quantity. So don't just build backlinks to build them, but build backlinks from sites that are related to what you're doing and have some authority.
Yeah, this is and this is part of what we do with our, because my primary line of business is working with entrepreneurs to launch your podcast, and we also have a new venture that we have that's coming out that is an innovative way of making the host guest connection. So in both cases, part of it's about backlinks. So let's say you host a podcast. Now you want your guest to share about the fact that they were on your show. And there are people who are very serious about their search engine optimization who will have a section of the blog on their website where every time they're on somebody else's podcast, they will write about it and then link back to it. And if and with our, you know, with our system, we recommend that you have the podcast be on a separate domain from your primary website for a number of reasons that go into marketing and positioning. They're a little bit beyond the scope of our topic here, but it's very easy to do that write-up in such a way where it gives links to both sites. You can get a double hit off of that. So we have a system where, particularly when people work with our Post Your Podcast Fast program, which is our editing, production, and posting service, that we follow up with the guest to get them to share the episode. And there's a four-part sequence that we send them. And the idea is it gets them to actually share the episode rather than simply say, gee, thanks. Because that's one of the big frustrations that podcast hosts have is, hey, I interviewed these people and they didn't even say thanks. I would like them to share the word. And the key to that, Brandon, is swipe files. That's the key to that. So you write your swipe files in such a way that optimize, if as a host, you optimize for yourself. And you tell them, yeah, this is a swipe file. You can edit it as you see fit. But here's the thing. We have taken shows from having a 15% guest share rate to a 71% share rate simply by sharing those swipe files. Let me ask you a question. Brandon, let's say that I asked you for a testimonial on my business. And my approach to you is, hey, Brandon, can you write me a testimonial? What's likely to happen?
Yeah, most people, whenever you ask for them, they're not going to write a testimonial unless you offer them some incentive. So like, hey, I'll give you 10% off my services, but you're not supposed to do that either.
I don't give a shit about your services, candidly. I want you to write me a testimonial. How do you think I'm going to get a testimonial from you?
By offering something to kind of like hanging that carrot over the stick to incentivize people to.
I don't care about carrots or sticks. How am I going to get you to give me a testimonial right now?
Most people wouldn't do it, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's right, because I'm asking you for a testimonial, and all I asked you for was a testimonial. So you're thinking of this of, I've known this guy for 30 minutes. What am I going to testify about? Or even if you've known me for 3 months, even if we've done business together, even if I've been a client of your service or vice versa, and I ask you for a testimonial, if I just simply ask you for a testimonial, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is the likelihood that you're going to, even if you are delighted to write me a testimonial, what is, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is the likelihood you're going to do it? 1 to 10, tell me, be honest.
Probably one.
One,
Most people.
exactly. You know how we get that to a 9 or 10?
Gotta offer them something of value.
I don't care about value, Brandon. I don't care about your carrots, your sticks, your services, your 10% discounts. I just want a testimonial from you. This, I'm going somewhere with it. I'm going somewhere with this. This is actually for the entertainment of our listeners, and the frustration I'm showing is actually play acting, so that people can viscerally understand this. This is not aimed at you. I just want you to see if you can get the answer to this. I'm going to give you one more shot, Brandon. I would like you to give it. I'm so glad that you enjoyed being a client of Post Your Podcast Fast. I would like it and be honored if you would write me a testimonial on it.
Then you could say, here's a link to my Yelp or Google page. Make it a little bit easier for people to write that testimonial. And then to help make it easier for people is going to make it a little bit more likely that they might write it, but still very, very low. Unless they were angry with you, then they would happily write a testimonial, because people are always happy to write negative reviews. Positive ones are a little bit tougher to get, or much tougher to get.
Precisely. You're so close. You're so close to this. If I want a testimonial from you right now, and I want to make it brain dead simple for you to do it, so that you actually give me a testimonial that will benefit my business and help me attract more of the types of clients and work that I want, what can I do to get this testimonial from you right now?
I'm not sure.
Write it for you. This is real simple. If you were a client of my service, you've told me what you liked about it. I can condense my memories of that conversation, or some text you sent me, or some email you sent me, into a couple sentences, send that to you by email, and ask you for your permission to either use this as is, or if you can reply. And if there's any edits you want to make to it, just include the edits in the reply and state that you endorse this testimonial. Now I have your testimonial. And what did you have to do?
Read it, make sure it's accurate, and sign off on it.
Bingo! That's where we were going with this. And I brought this up because this actually goes to the idea of search engine optimization, backlinks, the correct language you want, and things like that. And you might want me, and you would want your testimonial on my website, particularly if my services were similar, relevant, complementary, or in some way valuable to what you're selling. Because that could get you a relevant backlink. I want to make it as easy as possible for you. So when people come to me and they say, hey man, can you write me a testimonial? I say, sure, write it for me. Send it over. I'll take a look. And when they come at me with it, yeah, but I want it to, you to say it in your own words. Like, I don't have my own words. Write it for me. And if they push the matter, I say, you don't write it for me, you don't get the testimonial. That simple. So what I'm speaking to here is actually ties back to what you said about how you make it a valuable experience for somebody to give you a backlink. And I just transformed that to testimonials, which I think has a lot to do with search engine optimization. Now, as far as how we can make this happen, once we do search engine optimization work, whether it's the on-page work that you described at the beginning or this off-page stuff that we've been talking about, you know, just up until now, I know there's no one exact answer to this, but just to give us a framework of expectations, how long for the benefits start kicking in?
Well, to get Google to rank a website, it just depends on how established your website is versus the competitors. If you're a brand new website, and you don't have any backlinks, and you're trying to compete against some big, like let's say you're selling t-shirts, then you have to compete against like Walmart and Costco and Target and Amazon. And it's going to take a long time to be able to beat those competitors out, because they've been around for decades building trust up with Google. But if you've been around for 10 plus years and have a lot of good, strong backlinks, then it'll be a little bit easier to compete for those keywords. But it's all about just knowing who you are in the business cycle. How old, like, are you a startup? Then you want to target other startups. If you're targeting these big keywords that are really generic and broad, then it's going to take months, if not years, to get up there. So finding something more niche to help you out, like if you're selling t-shirts, that's going to be really tough. But if you're selling, let's say, baby t-shirts made of organic cotton, that's a little bit more niche. It helps differentiate yourself, less competition. So it'll be a little bit quicker to move up there. But on average, it takes about 6 months to get Google to trust a website. There's no real shortcut to that. Unfortunately, with SEO, it's a long-term play that you have to build that trust. And there's no way to get Google to trust you quickly without you building those backlinks. And the backlinks take time to build. It takes time for Google to find the backlinks, because I could build all these backlinks, but Google might not find these backlinks for a couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months. They might never find that backlink. So that's where it's that waiting game for Google to see all these changes that you've made to your website and changes that other people have made to their websites linking out to you, and just readjust their algorithm in those rankings. But usually it takes about 6 months. But I've worked with some people where they shut up right away. Like one client I had, they had a website for like 25 years. And they've had all these backlinks built to it, but their website was built in a way that Google couldn't read it. So by restructuring their website and just making sure it's easy for Google to read, understand, and know what keywords they're targeting, they pretty much shot up those rankings within like a month and a half. Their traffic like increased tenfold, but that's a rare thing. Doesn't happen frequently, but it's just understanding how much trust Google already has to your website. And that trust really comes down to those backlinks.
Yeah, and I think you make a lot of valid points with that. See, you may remember at the beginning of our conversation when I shared how I would tell people that the last thing you need or want in your business, and in fact, you should get rid of it, is traffic to your website. Part of the reason I came up with that is at that point, I had transitioned into website conversion consulting back about 12 years ago when I was considered a separate discipline. And there were firms that were specifically devoted solely to website conversion consulting. That was a way of creating a differentiator through repositioning and relanguaging. It's an idea of taking a concept that already exists, that's pretty evergreen and nothing new under the sun, and simply renaming it. So I use that to create content for my websites and to have other people share on their websites and comment on it. And even if they wrote articles saying that I was full of it for saying that, I didn't care. I wanted the backlink. In fact, I didn't mind a little controversy because it got people talking. But that's why I did it. That's why I said the last thing you need or want is traffic to your website, because that is a contrarian point of view that causes people to get piqued and want to have a discussion about it.
Yep. No, there's good press, bad press, but sometimes that bad press will result in a lot of backlinks and it could work out good for you in the end. But it's just, yeah, all about getting creative and trying to think outside the box and not do the same thing that everyone else is doing, because that's how you differentiate yourself and make yourself stand out to Google.
Yeah. So our topic is how to increase your website traffic without spending money on ads. But you did want to cover Google Ads with us a little bit. So I don't know a lot about Google Ads, candidly. My work has always been on the organic side. When I've had clients who have done advertising campaigns, they always worked with somebody else. So I'm just going to ask you the open-ended question. Where do Google Ads and other types of ads fall into this whole thing?
Yeah, I don't like running ads, but I've realized over the years that SEO just gets you traffic, and traffic doesn't get you sales and leads or clients necessarily. Uh-huh. I mean, it'll get you some, but not all of them are going to convert, because half the traffic that comes to your website is probably going to hit that back button, that bounce rate. So I like to run remarketing ads where it keeps yourself top of mind. So having those multiple touch points to build trust up for people. So for example, if you go on Amazon, you look at a product and you don't buy it, those ads will follow you around. Those are remarketing. And those are the type of ads I like to run where someone's been to your website and didn't do a specific action. Let's follow them around. So for myself, I'm an SEO company and I teach SEO classes as a way to get people to learn more about my services. So if somebody goes to my website and just browses around but doesn't sign up for my class, then I'm going to follow them around with ads to say, sign up for this free class. And then if somebody signs up for that free class, after that, I want them to book a call with me. But if they don't book a call with me, then anyone that's gone to my class but hasn't booked a call, I'm going to follow them around with ads saying, book a free consultation. And then anyone that has booked that consultation but hasn't become a client of mine, then I'm going to follow them around with ads that are client testimonials and reviews to help build that trust up. So for services, it's a little bit more tricky. For e-commerce, it's kind of straightforward. Like if you add this product to the shopping cart but don't check out, cart abandoners, then follow them around with that product, because they were that close to purchasing, something distracted them, maybe the price, the shipping, maybe they were on their cell phone and got a phone call and then forgot about you. So keeping yourself top of mind really works well in terms of ads. And you can run the remarketing ads on Google, on social, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube. And I would just think, who is my audience and where are they? And trying to follow them around on places that they're going to be. So you don't have to be everywhere, but it should be where your audience is going to be at. And those are the type of ads I really like to run. There's lots of other ads that are good to play around with, but I like the warm traffic versus going after cold traffic, because warm traffic, they already know who you are. They have a good idea of who you are. They've been to your website, but something distracted them or didn't get them to want to reach out to you. So that's where you just keep yourself top of mind through those remarketing ads.
It's also my understanding that retargeting ads are some of the easiest to get approved.
Yep. You have to make sure Google, or I mean, Facebook especially, got in a lot of trouble with elections in 2020. So they are much more, they're looking at these ads a lot more. In the past, they're just like, I'll throw an ad up. Fine. We'll take your money. We're happy to take your money. Now, after they've been in so much trouble, they're going to scrutinize them a little bit more to make sure that they're not selling anything weird or shady or sketchy, or you're not going against their terms of service and things like that. So they're a little bit more restrictive. But if you're like a dentist or a lawyer or selling t-shirts, you don't really have to worry too much about it, unless you're selling something really crazy with those shirts that might offend people. Then you have to be a little bit more cautious. But in general, most of the time, if you're a legitimate real business, you don't have to worry too much about those ads getting rejected.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. And so the other thing that I find just hilarious is that my experience with retargeting ads is when I book a hotel room, as soon as I book that hotel room, I get bombarded with retargeting ads, people urging me to book a room at that hotel.
No, so that's where you got to put these rules in place and set up rules. Like I was saying, like if someone watches my class but doesn't sign up for free consultation, I'm going to show them ads for the consultation. But if they did sign up for my free consultation, I'm going to exclude them from those ads, because I don't want them to see the same ads for something that they've already done. So if someone's converted on your website, you need to set those rules up in the remarketing saying, all right, these are the audience I want to show the ads to, but these are the audiences that I don't want to show the ads to, because they've already done that conversion action. You don't need to show it to them again. But a lot of times they just don't set it up properly, and that's where they're just wasting money. Or you'll see the ads 50 times on that day where you're like, this is too much. Like, you don't need to show your ad to me 50 times or 100 times. So setting limits to saying, all right, just show the ad like two or three times per day for the next week or the next month or the next 6 months or whatever it is. The higher the price for that item, the longer the buying cycle would be. Like for myself, for SEO, people aren't just going to sign up for SEO right away. It takes them months, sometimes years, to sign up, versus if someone's just buying like socks online, they probably only need a couple days at most to show them the ads. So it's just understanding your audience, the buying cycle, and try not to waste money on wasted clicks, because a lot of people set those ads up incorrectly and just bleed money out. And Google is happy to take your money.
Yeah, that is certainly the case. I mean, I've seen, I've heard those cases where people set up their ad account to charge like X amount per day on the card, and they activate the ad or the ad goes live. And then 3 seconds later, they say, oh, you spent your budget for the day. Now what? After 3 seconds.
Yep, that's where you have to set rules up in place to say, I want to show my ads from like 8 to 5, if that's when you know people are going to be most active, or you put more in place to say excluding audiences. Like maybe you want to exclude lower income families. Like if I'm selling exotic cars, I don't want to show it to the top 10% of income owners. So of earners. So I want to exclude anyone that doesn't make a certain amount, or I don't want to show it to anyone under 25, because they're probably not going to want to spend $10,000 a month on a car lease. Some people would, but it's all about just knowing your audience and trying to exclude the people. That way you don't bleed money on wasted clicks, and you're just targeting the right audience, which initially a lot of people have to spend the money on ads to just get the data. So initially I would say spend more money on ads, because then you're going to get all this data and you can see who's clicking versus who's clicking and converting. And anyone just clicking on your website, but they're not converting, I would probably cut those audiences out eventually because it's just wasted clicks that are bleeding your budget out versus the ones that are converting. That's where you want to put your money in and put all your bread and butter into those audiences because you know those are going to convert and should continue to convert with the proper messaging.
Right, exactly. So, as we wrap up here, I just want to make sure if there's anything else if there's anything else that you need to make sure that our listeners understand about this whole topic of search engine optimization and traffic development and anything like that, I'm going to give you the opportunity to share that now because we're about to wrap up. I mean, this is something that you actually know a lot more than I do. I've shared my work with it, but I want to leave that with you. And also, if there's one thing that you would urge our listeners to do today if they want to take that first step forward.
Yeah, the first thing, well, there's is building trust up with Google. Like you could make a website, have it perfectly optimized, put your keywords everywhere, but if you're not building backlinks, Google's not going to trust you and they're not going to rank a website that they don't trust. And I have too many people that come to me that say, oh, I've built this website, I've optimized it, but I'm not getting traffic. And I look and they don't have any backlinks. And that is just such a big part of SEO that a lot of people aren't really aware of, which kind of shocking because that's how Google ranks websites is off of those backlinks and then the content and keywords on your website. But backlinks are number one, and they do take time. A lot of people get discouraged when they don't see the traction right away. And I always tell people SEO is a long-term strategy. You're not going to get those immediate results. You have to be in it for the long haul and be ready not to see much movement right away. But over time, you're going to see yourself slowly getting more and more traffic. And those are just little wins that are going to lead to bigger wins in the long term. So just don't get discouraged if you're not seeing that immediate traction right away. Don't give up on the SEO. It does take time. And if you're not building backlinks, that's probably the number one reason why you're not getting that traction. And start building backlinks right away by looking at your competitors' backlinks. That's an easy way to see what's working for your competition and then try to incorporate that into your own website by using those tools that I mentioned earlier, like Ahrefs or Moz or SEMrush. That really is one of the most important things for SEO. SEO is like a puzzle, though. There's lots of pieces of that puzzle. Some pieces are bigger than others, like the backlinks is such a big piece of that puzzle. The content on your website is such a big piece of the puzzle. But a lot of people get stuck on other pieces that are smaller pieces that don't have such a big impact, like how fast your website loads. It's not that important to Google. A lot of people think it's so very, or it's really important for SEO, which for user experience, it's very important. But for SEO, Google said that if two web that website speed, the page load time, isn't one of the top ranking factors. Like the only time it matters is if there's two websites that are perfectly optimized that have the same SEO score to Google, then Google's going to look at which one loads faster and rank that one a little bit higher. But in general, speed is not the biggest deal for SEO, but for people and for humans, it's very, very important, especially on mobile. So just try to be aware. And just take everything with a grain of salt that Google tells you, because they're not going to really tell you the full story of what they're looking for. They're just going to tell you what they want you to know, which is going to equate to you spending more money on ads, since that's how Google makes all their money is off those paid ads. But just be patient with everything, and you'll see over time your traffic's going to start increasing.
Absolutely. So what I'm going to urge our listeners to do now, and it's getting kind of busy here at the cafe, is the lunch hour is about to begin. I want to share Brandon's website. So if you go to SEOoptimizers.com, that's SEOoptimizers.com. Pretty easy domain to remember. And you can also see it in the show notes. You can visit his website and you're going to see all kinds of great things. You see the services he has available. He offers some classes on this topic, some master classes, and some other resources that can assist you with this. And you also have the opportunity, at least as of this writing, to gain a free SEO website consultation. So it's 15 minutes one-on-one with Brandon, and he will give you an analysis. He'll show you what you need to know about keywords, about your opportunities, and achieving your traffic goals. So go there. Book an appointment. You can do it right there on the website. And once you do that, mention that you heard Brandon on the Business Creators Radio Show. I get no remuneration for this, but I just like to know that our efforts are doing something to help you make a difference for your community, market, and audience. And with that, Brandon Leibowitz, thank you so much for your time today. It has been an honor, and believe me, an education.
We trust you enjoyed today's episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. Check out our previous and upcoming episodes on our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.